PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Hey, Killian! Here's Sub-Zero! Now, Plane Zero!
This is the Chris Crespo Radio Show! Everybody likes him, listen to his shit!
You are not properly sedated, call 348-844 immediately. Failure to do so may result in prosecution for criminal drug evasion.
For more enjoyment and greater efficiency, consumption is being standardized. We are sorry.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to episode 269 of Cinema Crespediso. Up top.
Hey, yeah. Right here. All right. All right.
These guys actually gave me the high five. I can't believe that worked.
I'm a white guy. What? You put your hand up, my hand goes right up there with it. It is automatic reaction.
I think that goes beyond race and is just a total dude bro thing. Well, I think we just dude bro'd out together.
We totally did.
That was awesome. We're just three dude bros doing another bit of podcasting because that's what the world needs more of, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. Just opinions. Just more opinions.
Yeah.
More mansplaining. This is the welcome to the mansplain show.
How about manspreading? Can we manspread while we mansplain?
Hey, manspreading is important for dudes like us with big fucking balls. Us and our big balls are here to tell you about movies. and how we're aggrieved men and our rights are being trampled on. But first off, here's your threat update. Current threat level is hot pink.
Hi-yo!
Recognize your standards. With us is Drew Sikogber and Drew.
How's it going, man?
How you doing?
Doing.
Are you aggrieved? Are you aggrieved?
No.
No, not aggrieved?
Everything's been handed me on a silver platter pretty much my whole life. I don't give a shit.
Almost. Silverish. At least silver-coated.
I mean tin platter, maybe?
There you go. At least you got a platter.
I got a tin platter.
You got a platter.
Yeah.
With us, Steve Etchy.
Hey.
It's not even a guess. You're like,
I was gonna say, how does this show work?
I think at this point, I know, right? I think at this point, the way it's gonna be, it's like if it's 2018 and we don't have a guest, then we pull in the third Mike Steve Etchy.
Yes,
you're just like, it's just a reserve.
So he's the third wheel.
He's the third. He's the spare wheel, the spare tire. That's very rude. Erdy, we keep you.
You're the sidecar.
Let's send this one to the UK listeners. We put you in the boot, and then when we need you, we pull you out and we strap you on. That's the trunk in England. They call the trunk the boot, Drew. And then so the hood
which
is
sounds
the,
better.
Is the
think.
Bonnet. The hood.
Yeah. So you said you were going to pull out Steve Etchy and then strap him on.
Strap him on, yes.
That sounds...
I'll pull him out of the boot and strap him on. And then we get to rocking and roll. Rocking and rolling, rocking to the
strap me to the bonnet.
It's going to be fun, man.
Boot sounds better than trunk, but bonnet sounds ridiculous.
Doesn't it? But yeah, it makes sense when it's clothing, hat and shoes.
Mm-hmm. Boot and bonnet.
But then again, wouldn't the hat be the roof and then the shoes would be the tires?
See, that's what I thought. But it'd make more sense if the bonnet was the roof.
So you're talking about the...
Unless you're laying on your back.
So UK guys, this changes. UK guys and gals, from now on, in the front of the car, that's your that's the belly, right? Or the bell end. That's the bell end. And then the back of the car is the butt. The caboose? You can still call it the caboose.
I was about to say caboose, yeah.
The caboose, come on.
But the caboose was just the end of the train.
Exactly, and that
that's
became
the end of
known
the car.
For the end of a booty. The end of a car, the end of a train, the end of a person. Is there butt? That caboose? I think we've solved a lot of the world's problems just now.
I think boot is short for booty.
Booty short for booty.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Then what's up with bonnet?
Then what's up with bonnet?
I still don't understand bonnet.
No, I don't either.
I'm going to write this down. We're going to investigate. What's up with bonnet? Guys, we are doing... How do you spell bonnet? Another episode.
B-O-N-N-E-T.
Yep.
Get rid of one of those T's there. We're doing another episode of Cinema Crespi. So last week was a shortened episode because we were in New York City for Bill's wedding. So we missed out on a lot of segments, but then we did a bonus episode that we put all those segments back in. Mm-hmm. So if you put those two episodes together, it's almost like a...
It's almost like a full one.
And then we also had Billy D on episode 268, which was pretty sweet.
That is sweet.
Very cool to have him there. So we're here now. We're back. We're doing our thing. It's a normal show. So let's get started with the streaming pick of the week.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Pick of the Week.
Picks of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Pick of the Week.
Cinema Crespediso Streaming!
That's right, it's Cinema Crespediso Streaming Pick of the Week! It's right here. Oh, I forgot to write another button. It actually stops that up. But that's cool. I'll just go ahead and put in...
I got another button for you.
I'll just go ahead and put in the bed music. The Streaming Pick of the Week, we do this every week. I was just talking to someone yesterday about how, you know, you just sit there going through the Netflix or the Amazon, just scrolling, scrolling. So much time.
I spent 45 minutes the other day doing that.
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah.
You could have watched something.
I could have picked a lot of things, and I ended up choosing
nothing.
Nothing.
You choose nothing. Yeah. So we're here to help you choose at least something, at least once. So, Steve, go ahead and let everyone know, what is this week's Pick of the Week?
All right. It is from Netflix, and it is A Serious Man.
Oh, man. Write that down, A Serious Man, so I remember Netflix. Coen Brothers movie. Very timely, actually. How about this for time this together? The universe is doing its thing, working in mysterious ways. A Serious Man stars Michael Stuhlbarg. Mm-hmm. Michael Stuhlbarg is an actor who, up until this point, when this movie came out, this is what, Drew, 2014?
I don't think I'd ever seen him in anything like...
He was not in anything before A Serious Man. Because up until that point, he was a very successful Broadway actor. Not film. Hugely successful stage actor. The Coen brothers, they made their movie that's about, essentially about, it's a Job story, but it's also about growing up in Minnesota in the 60s in a suburb as a Jewish family in Minnesota, right? And the movie tackles a lot of things, actually. They cast him in their lead role, and from that point forward, being a lead in Coen Brothers movie,
he's been in everything.
Yeah, that gives you the opportunity to be in a lot of stuff.
Everything.
Culminating, Steve, with the Oscars tonight, the Academy Awards, in which he has significant roles in The Shape of Water.
Yeah.
He's nominated for a whole bunch of stuff, probably going to win some things.
That's something I want to see.
It's good. Check it out. You'll find it interesting. He plays the father character in Call Me By Your Name, another nominated film.
Wow.
And he has one of the best scenes in the movie. And what's the third movie that he's in, Drew? Shape of Water, Call Me By Your Name, and...
I don't remember.
Are they all... They're all
nominated for stuff, and they're all over... But it's The Post. He's also...
Oh, yes, he was. Okay. He was in The Post as well.
He's also in The Post.
Is he specifically nominated for anything?
No.
Just those movies, okay.
But he's in the movies, and he's great in
them. Which is still amazing. I'm not taking anything away. I just wondered.
Is he? I don't think he's nominated for supporting actor.
I don't think so.
It's... There's so many roles going to so many dudes. It's, you know, hard to get recognized sometimes. He will down the road get stuff, I'm sure. He'll find something that he'll just really...
knock out of the park.
Yeah, the people are like, oh my God, Michael Stuhlbarg, this guy's amazing. He's great. He's having a great year, and he's in a whole bunch of stuff. This is a great movie. Also has Richard Kind as his, I believe, brother or brother-in-law. I can't remember. Who's trying to put together a gambling scheme that he calls the, what does he call it? It's got a crazy name, like the Hunktaculous, the Spectaculous, the right, something Taculous.
I truly hope it's Hunktaculous.
It's something crazy sounding. I wish I could remember and I can't. It's a very interesting movie that's all about being cursed. What would it like to be cursed by God? And
that's why you said Job.
Yeah, it's a very Job-like story because things just are going wrong for this dude.
I was wondering, and then you're like, it takes place in Minnesota. I'm like, wait, what?
Because he's Jewish, so at times he goes to the church, he goes to the temple, and he's trying to talk to, he's going up the line trying to talk to different rabbis to like ask why is God targeting me, you know, and trying to get answers and stuff. And
He doesn't get very many answers.
And he don't get very many answers because it's a Coen Brothers movie and it's a dark comedy of sorts with a very, very interesting final shot. And a great final shot that you're just like, whoa. And then it ends. You're like, huh? What? It ends there? It's weird. It's interesting. Yeah, this is a great pick.
Yeah. Well, and there can't be any answers because no like church officials would know the answer to that.
The answer is always, God is unknowable in mysterious ways.
Right, exactly.
You
know? Like
you can say that mockingly or you can say that in all belief.
Yeah.
Like, it works. You too, mysterious ways. She in that song is God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you know that?
It's like, why is God doing this? I'll ask him tomorrow. I'll get back to you. Like, no, of course you're not going to get an answer.
We have your answers right here. God moves in mysterious ways. He has hip dysplasia. So
he does. You know what? He might be mildly retarded.
No, don't say that about God now. He's listening.
I guarantee you.
God subscribes.
I guarantee you.
God subscribes.
I guarantee you we are. Our entire universe is probably a science project sitting on some alien's shelf with a grade that says C-.
That's possible.
You know, if we ever have a religious podcast on our network, it needs to be called God Subscribes.
God Subscribes? That would be. Steve wants to do one.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
From the Christian perspective, right?
Mm. I wouldn't want to do one, no.
But you said, though, we've been talking about, but not you. You want to produce one, though? And then just be honest.
I was saying, if we did, it's almost worth the name
to talk about religion.
To actually do it. Like, seriously?
I think we should
God Subscribe. So when people go, God, it's not very good, I'd be like, look, we did it for the name.
We did it for God. God's listening. He's subscribing. Well, there you go. God watches Serious Man with God. Tonight.
Are you on a mission from GED?
GED, mission from GED. Not from Chicago, but yes. Great movie. All right, there we go. Let's talk about some box office, guys. How about that? Stupid. Box office time. Oh, shit. Talking about them dollar bills. Yeah. Drew.
Chris.
Where are we starting at top five?
Number five.
Oh, wow, that makes sense.
Number five this week, it's Peter Rabbit. Made $10 million.
Peter Rabbit.
Total 84.
84 on a $10 million weekend?
It looks pretty good.
Four weeks.
This thing might make $100 million.
Yeah.
And also benefits from there not really being any kids' movies.
Well, that,
since December.
And at least, like, probably for the parents, like, Peter Rabbit is a familiar story for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not for the kids these days, but, you know... So I'm like, oh, Peter Rabbit, that's for kids. Let's take that little monster and put him in a fucking movie seat for a while.
Yeah, exactly. It's an hour and a half. It's a babysitter.
Actually, it's so wholesome, Peter Rabbit.
Yes.
Apparently not this one.
Well, there's a food allergy joke that got a lot of the parents upset. Oh, they're making fun of food allergies. Yeah. But that's such a small segment of people. That's the thing. When people complain, they complain so loudly that they're like, oh, my goodness. But it's like such a small segment.
Yeah.
Relax. Just throw them a couple bones, whatever. Make them happy, and then they'll go away. And then everyone else can just go about their day. It's no big deal.
Yeah. Well, it actually reminds me of Guardians of the Galaxy. Somebody in the theater that was angry because they had an adopted son, and there was no. Not Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm sorry. Thor. Or Avengers? No, Avengers.
Marvel ones.
Yeah, it's definitely Avengers because that's where he says, you know, like that Loki's adopted.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was with his adopted son, and he was very angry about that because his son like asked about it, like, "What does that mean? Why is that a joke?" You know. And it's like, you know, and he's like, "How am I going to explain to them?" You know. And I'm like,
"I don't know, dude. That's on you. It's called life and parenting."
Well, not only that, but the kid was like 7, and it's like, "How about you explain to us why you're in a PG-13 movie?"
Movie is PG-13 for a reason. Often it says like thematic elements or whatever.
Is a thematic element.
Yeah, so...
I actually did not know that, but...
Well, when things are written for thematic elements, it's a theme. It's you could chalk it up... That's the blanket where you could chalk... Hey, that's got uncomfortable for you and your kids. It's a PG-13 movie. We tried to warn you.
Mm. Yeah.
We tried to tell you. You're like, no, it's a comic book movie. But then it's that one guy. Plenty of other people with their adopted kids went and saw it. They didn't care.
I thought that line was hilarious.
Yeah, exactly. Because being adopted sucks, and fuck adoption.
Number four this week.
We should throw all those unwanted kids just in a fire. Just throw them in a fire.
Or you know, we could do like the Spartans where they bolt their Don't they bolted their wrists and their ankles and they threw them off a cliff.
Oh, there you go.
And then if they survived and made it back to town, then they could come back and they'd be welcome. But you know, both,
you gotta be tough. You gotta want to live.
Yeah.
These babies have to prove that they want to live. You can't just adopt them.
I don't think I'd live through that.
And then feed them. What is this?
None of them did.
No wonder we're so weak. One.
They literally bolted your wrists together.
Yeah. No wonder we're so weak as a society that, you know, we have all these babies and we clothe them, we feed them, we give them love. Mm. And then now we're weak.
We are.
We should be Spartanizing our children.
A whole bunch of SJWs and fucking...
Yeah, now we're a bunch of SJWs and snowflakes that want that want equality and to take out our food allergy jokes out of our cartoon movies.
Hey, guess what? You know what all those food allergies are? Those are weaknesses.
Those are weaknesses. Those people should all be dead.
We should have bred that out of the human race a long time ago.
Yeah, we need more spray paint abs.
We need more spray paint ads. We need to throw peanuts at people randomly just to get rid of the weak.
Yeah.
And then we need to Spartan kick babies into holes. The unwanted ones. Because they're unwanted for a reason.
All right? There should be a peanut gun.
If you were adopted, you were unwanted for a reason. So.
Number three this week.
A peanut gun. Yeah. I'm in.
Number three this week.
And it should be made of peanuts. So that a cop who tries to disarm you but has a peanut allergy.
He does too.
It's the ultimate weapon against those with peanut allergies.
Number three is Death Wish. Made $13 million.
Here we go. This is a movie that's right up our alley. Death Wish. A movie about white men taking control of society and bringing justice to those with the one thing that we all need more of, guns.
Yes.
It's fantastic that we have Eli Roth, because obviously Hollywood is a liberal cesspool of hypocrisy.
Yes.
That is the truth. And just look at me too. That is the truth. But at least they're cleaning it up and not like pretending that it's a virtue. And like, no, we're going to put this guy up for Senate. We don't care he's a child molester. There is still a difference. Anyway. Thank God this movie's here, because yes, what a perfect time to make a movie about it, guys. Like, the cops are inefficient. Yeah. I'm going to take justice into my own hands and just kill people in the street with my gun.
Have you seen the original?
Yeah.
Yeah, a long time ago. Jeff Goldblum, right? Yeah. He's one of the thugs in that, which is a lot of fun.
He's one of the thugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had forgotten that.
Yeah, he gets blown away.
I saw it a long time ago, too.
Yeah, it's been a
very long time.
If I'm not mistaken, like, isn't he like super young, super skinny? And I want to think, why do I think that Jeff Goldblum doesn't have a shirt on for some reason?
Maybe because he's a gang. He's like gang member.
Yeah, I think it's just a vest.
I think so.
It's weird.
Very Warriors looking. Yeah. And pre-Warriors.
One nipple ring.
That'd be like, Jeff, now you're just being eccentric. That's just him bringing his Jeffosity.
Speaking of Jeff Goldblum, for the first time ever, he's going to be at a pop culture convention.
Oh, yeah?
Guess which one?
FlyCon. CroninCon. Cronenbergfest. Is he going to be at CronFest?
Chris, he's going to be at the Orlando Convention Center for MegaCon this year.
Oh, yeah?
Whoa.
He's going to MegaCon? For what?
I was going to guess Jurassic Park Park.
No idea. But he is going to be there, and apparently it's the first time he's ever done a convention.
Wow, that's cool.
I can totally see that. I don't see him doing conventions.
He's a weird guy.
The idea of him being at a convention is weird. I never would have thought it.
He's a weird guy.
Yes.
Infamously weird now. You know about Chef Goldblum's?
Guys, we should go.
You know about Chef Goldblum's? Have you seen that? He has a food truck, and he's selling sausages, hot dogs.
Where?
Obviously California somewhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I want.
And it's called Chef Goldblum's.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
He's actually there? Like,
yeah, there's pictures of him like in the truck, like serving people. He's selling people the food. It's him.
That's awesome. I
want. Yeah. He's great. He's fantastic. Everyone likes Chef Goldblum. Hopefully he doesn't get caught up in any Me Too stuff, because hashtag no more heroes. But now we finally have a hero in Bruce Willis going out there blowing people away. Being like, what? You're a drug dealer? Here's my gun.
And that's why it's rated 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's because those are all those liberal, libtard, lefty film writers who are like complaining about what is obviously a movie made for real Americans.
Well, you're right, because the audience score is 85%.
Ha-ha!
Yeah.
The real Americans chiming in there saying, this is what we want to see.
Mm-hmm.
What's the consensus? I didn't see
it. Death Wish is little more than a rote retelling that lacks the grit and conviction of the original, and also suffers from spectacularly bad timing.
What
do they mean by bad timing?
Bad timing of like having all these critics being like, gun culture, guns are bad, and really guns are great and guns are fantastic, and we all should have guns.
Yes.
And every teacher should have a gun, and beyond that, every student should have a gun as well.
Mm-hmm.
They all should have guns. Mm-hmm. All of them. Every single one of them. Yeah. Everyone except the cops.
My fingers.
Take the guns away from the cops, give them to the kids.
My fingers should be a gun.
Your fingers, our fingers should be guns. We should have gun fingers.
Gun fingers.
We should have gun fingers, we should have gun toes.
Yeah. Ooh, I like it.
Oh, I like it. Just jump around. Yep. Doing jumping. You know, that would solve all our problems. Spartanize our babies.
Yep.
Arm the teachers, give them all finger guns. Arm the teachers, arm the students.
Yep.
Right? We're solving all the world's problems. And call bonnets, bellies. And booties, cabooses.
Mm-hmm. Number two this week.
We're solving all the world's problems. Mm-hmm.
Red Sparrow made $17 million. Same as Tony.
Ah, yes, Red
Sparrow. On a budget of, hey, guess what?
$69 million. Up top. All right. Triple high five. The 69 show. Red Sparrow, I saw this one.
I was going to say, yeah.
I missed it. I wanted to see it, but I was traveling.
It looks good
instead.
To me. Yeah.
It's an intriguing trailer. It's a spy movie. Modern Cold War, Russia versus U.S. Jennifer Lawrence plays a ballerina who gets injured, and then she, her family member, like, pressures her into doing like a really low level piece of surveillance work for the government. But then it gets like all turned around, and then they're like, "Look, you witnessed the murder. This is all in trailer. You witnessed the murder, so either
we either kill you and your family,
either
or...
we kill you to get rid of you as a witness, or you join this Red Sparrow program." Where you use like your good looks and your seduction to
fight, extract information
in the new Cold War.
So she's a hired honeypot.
She's a hired honeypot assassin type deal. And so a portion of the movie is how she's set up for it, and then the training, and then it playing out in the field in a cat and mouse game along with a CIA agent played by Joel Edgerton, Australian actor Joel Edgerton.
Do they ever do anything cheesy where like they utilize her... Or she utilizes her like ballerina skills.
No.
Okay. Good.
No. The ballerina stuff plays. Shit. It plays a different. It's all the whole movie is about wants and desires and having to manipulate people through those wants and desires and stuff like that
to get what you want.
Yeah. Okay. So her whole deal is that as a ballerina, she wanted to be special as a dancer, and then when that was taken away from her, she still yearned to be special or whatever. So maybe the Sparrow program was the way that she could have done it. It's an interesting movie, pretty well made, but I mean, I didn't think it was great. Like, I didn't love it.
Yeah,
it's a little long, very violent. Like, whoa. Violent at times. Yeah.
Sweet.
Like, kind of shockingly so at times.
I love me some
uncomfortably
violence.
So. A couple of scenes of, like, interrogation torture, one of which was kind of conceptually hard to sit through.
Mm-hmm.
It involves...
Is there a sudden one?
Skin. What?
Like, anything, like, sudden, you know?
Like, sudden violence?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, sure. A couple things that happened suddenly. Like, whoa. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like you know, the fire extinguisher scene in, that movie that goes backwards.
Memento.
Nope.
What other movie goes backwards?
That's funny, because there's only two that do that, and you named the other one. That's not it.
I was like, what fire extinguisher scene happens in Memento?
No, it's a...
Oh! The Gaspar Noé movie. The one where Monica Bellucci gets raped in the middle.
Yes, and it's like 9 minutes long.
It's a 9 minute uncut shot of a rape scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the guy kills a dude with the fire extinguisher.
But
the camera is
on
the fire extinguisher, so it's this really disorienting shot of.
Smashes the dude's face in.
It's called Irreversible.
Irreversible, thank you, yes.
Yes,
Irreversible. That was a good movie. I mean, the kind that I would never see it again.
I appreciated what they were going for, what Gaspar Noé was going for, but.
I was going to say, as soon as I said that was a good movie, I was like, I need to be more specific.
Why?
I'm glad I saw it.
It's certain movies like that. Yeah, it's like Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. I'm glad I saw that movie. It's well made for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was over, I wanted to take a shower. I felt dirty. Like,
yeah.
This is a gross movie.
Requiem for a Dream. Only seen it once.
No.
Only will have ever seen it once.
I've seen it a couple times.
I'm glad I saw it, though.
Man, that movie still turns my stomach every time I watch it.
Yeah.
I was just talking about that last night to some people. As a matter of fact, it's fine. Certain movies like that. Now, this one, the moments of violence, it's not to that point. It's not Itchy the Killer type stuff. But, like, at one point someone gets garroted, you know, like the wire garroted, and the camera doesn't cut away, and it's going, you see the wire going into the skin, and the blood starts coming out, and the guy's face, it's like, whoa, this is intense, and the camera's not cutting away.
Yeah.
Like, it's making you watch it.
Yeah.
You have to look away if you don't want to see that anymore.
So it's kind of like that scene in Gone Girl.
It's sort of, yeah. Yeah, not to that extent of blood, though. That was like... That was absurd.
It's like a game
that turns into a comedy at that point.
Yeah.
It's like a game of chicken between you and the movie.
Yeah. It's like, who's gonna look away first? Like, yeah. And the movie's like,
oh, by the way, the movie does not look away.
Camera doesn't look.
Yeah, the movie's like, I already recorded this. Yeah. I know I'm not looking away.
We know where this is going. So there are moments like that where it's like, man, this gets really gnarly, violent, and gross.
Makes me want to see it more.
But it's also not that action-packed, saying all that. And then also early on, there are little moments of, because it's a spy movie, right?
Yeah.
So there's little moments of tradecraft, which is a lot of fun. I'm like, okay, cool, maybe we'll get some cool, like, spy dealings, you know, like, little tricks and stuff like that. Only here and there. Didn't and then, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing that this chick seems to learn is how to pick a lock. And she picks a lot. It's
good for her.
It's like one of the least action-packed and least like intriguing spy movies I've seen in quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's still well made, and it's got Jennifer Lawrence and Joe Edgerton, and there's some interesting ideas in there about a citizen's relation to the state. And, you know, it is through what's happening in Russia, but there's also some lip service in there about how in America it's supposed to be different, but it really isn't. You know, it's just, you know. Et cetera, et cetera, stuff like that. Jeremy Irons is in it, and he does a Russian accent, which is just him talking normally.
Of course it is. He's like, I'm Russian.
Yeah.
Okay, sure, Jeremy.
I can barely, like, is he doing a Russian
Okay, fine. You're Russian.
It's like when he did Die Hard 3, and he's supposed to be German.
Yeah, like, sure you are, Jeremy.
Are you really? Are you sure? You just sound like Jeremy Irons. It's very funny. And then when Tom Hardy does Bane, he's just doing Jeremy Irons from South America. It's like the same thing. It's crazy.
With a mask on his face.
With a mask on his face. That makes it a lot easier. I'm German Irons. Not a great movie. Not a bad movie. Not a great. It's, you know, it's
very
just,
middling.
It's just like all Francis Lawrence's other movies.
Maybe that's why it's 51% on Tomato.
51% meter. Right down the middle.
Average rating 5.7.
Right down the middle. And what is the consensus there?
Red Sparrow's tense, character-driven story, elevated by outstanding work from Jennifer Lawrence, helped this topical spy thriller overcome its somewhat uneven narrative.
Yeah, well, she's great.
I like her a lot.
I think she's great. She's very watchable. She takes some acting risks in this movie, so to speak. I mean, the old movie where she has to speak with the Russian accent. You know, it's in Russia, but it's for American audiences. So Russian characters are just speaking accents in English. You know, everyone's like that. But then it lets them get away with casting non-Russian actors in these roles. So it's like Jeremy Irons, Ciarán Hinds, Matthias Schoenaerts. I don't know how to say his last name. Schoenaerts.
You know what they seem to not do anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, do you remember the Search for Red October?
When they started in another language and then faded?
And then faded into the...
I don't think other movies actually did that. That's the only movie I can think of that did that trick.
The 13th Warrior.
13th Warrior did it, but that was part of the plot.
I know it was, but they still did it.
But they did it, though, where Antonio Banderas' character learned the Viking language.
Yeah, but that is part of the plot.
I knew if it was something.
And then October was just for audiences.
Yeah. I knew, like, I wasn't sure if it was ever, like, an actual thing, but I knew it had been used more than once.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is kind of interesting because it's more like, okay, you see it. These people are speaking Russian. Get it? Okay, now we're going to get past that so you guys don't have to read subtitles.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah. Or even better, we don't have to make Jennifer Lawrence learn an entire script in phonetic Russian.
Yeah.
You know, and then everyone's like, people who do know Russian is like, man, her Russian is bad.
Yeah.
It's really bad. Like, apparently Uma Thurman's Japanese in Kill Bill is so bad that they had to subtitle her in Japan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how bad it is. People are like, what is she saying? Like, damn it. We got to put it up there in Japanese. She speaks in Japanese.
I don't understand that. How is it that, like, you know, somebody doesn't come out and go, hold on. Like, some kind
of on set. Maybe whoever. Maybe she just couldn't overcome the accent. She was trying as hard as she could, and she just couldn't, you know?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, trying to learn a whole other language in, like, a short amount of time. Well, you think she's Tom Cruise?
You don't have to. You got to memorize the words that you're saying.
And then that's when you have Arnold Schwarzenegger and Hercules Goes Bananas, where you're like, man, this is insane. I'm Hercules.
All right, dub him.
Yeah, it's like, we'll dub him. Dub him.
I would love to see him speak perfect English, like, with, you know, American accent English, like, if he could ever, like, actually do that. I know he can't.
Right? Yeah, it's amazing. I know he can't. It's amazing.
How amazing would it be to see that,
though? I'd like to hear him try to do one. At least do, like, a Texan accent or something.
I would love to see him master it. And just, I mean, that would blow me away.
You must have no interest in him because he is a very smart individual.
Well, because he doesn't
have
to. He
came to America and became a millionaire before he learned how to speak English. Mm-hmm. So he is very smart.
Oh, yeah. He could do it, I think. Yeah. I just, why?
He's also became governor of a state. So
yeah.
He can achieve things. So yeah, he's chosen to keep his accent, to let people know I'm the Austrian oak. Look at my giant arms and my tiny legs.
It's really been now it's associated with him.
It's his brand
now. Exactly.
Vote for me if you want to live. Yeah, of all sudden he came out by like, I am now normal sounding.
Yeah, hey, what's up, guys?
I am now American.
I still have muscles.
I still have my muscles. They're a little melty, but I'm now fully Americanized. Nice to meet you. It'll sound like Apu in The Simpsons when he's like, I am watching the Nye Mets baseball game. That's pretty funny. What was number two, Red Sparrow?
Mm-hmm.
Red Sparrow was number two. What was number one?
Fucking Black Panther, dude. Come on.
Fucking Black Panther.
$65 million. Total gross of $500 domestic.
Finish him.
Another $396 foreign. Total of $897 worldwide.
$897. We'll see how much more over $1.3 billion can it make, because that's the number I think it's being pegged at for a minimum $1.3 billion.
And it's only been out for 3 weeks, Chris.
And it's only been weeks. It's fantastic. It's so good. I'm seeing people put on Instagram their pictures of their Black Panther tickets being like, going back to Wakanda. Like, people are revisiting it. They're really into it. They're taking their kids and their cousins and stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's very cool.
I still haven't seen it.
It's worth it, man. It's even if you haven't seen all the other ones. I was talking to Curtis Earth.
All the other what?
All the other Marvel movies.
Oh, okay.
You know, like Curtis Earth called in the Curtis Earth Show, and like, he doesn't watch all those movies, but he got his movie pass.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, go see it, man. Go see that Black Panther. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to like it. He doesn't like comic book movies. Like, you're going to like it. He liked Thor Ragnarok because that's a fun movie. Have you seen that one yet?
No.
Well, guess what, Etch?
Mm.
It comes out this weekend on DVD. It's one of the new movies. That's right. We're already segued into the new movies on DVD this week segment.
I mean, look, Rolling Stone this month.
The Black Panther Revolution. Chadwick Boseman on the cover.
Looking
ripped as hell. Handsome motherfucker.
And he's got his...
And he's 41 years old.
He's got his Wakanda... His necklace on, too.
His Black Panther.
Yeah.
His Black Panther suit inside the necklace.
Yep.
It's a cool movie, man.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah, you definitely got to check it out, see if you like it.
That's just the thing. It's not because I think it's not going to be great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You just got to get out there. You got to have the time to. Now, it is going to hit some comic book formulas.
Yeah.
You know, it is going to hit some tropes. It's not completely revolutionary in terms of, like, storytelling. What it's doing is it's taking a mainstream style movie, a $200 million, man, it cost so much money, but it paid off, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's a $200 million comic book movie, but now in the trappings of, like, African culture in a way that hasn't been done ever before. And, it's beautiful. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Have you seen Thor Ragnarok? Yeah. So this week, you haven't seen it.
No.
Do you have Netflix?
Yes, I do.
They still have the deal going, so it should be on Netflix, like, as of Tuesday.
Ragnarok. Okay, I'll check it out.
Oh, it's coming. Oh, I gotta watch
it. Yeah, so check it out, man.
It's funny.
It is so funny.
You will laugh your ass.
It's colorful.
There is a scene with the Hulk that, like, you see it come out and you're like, okay, I know what's gonna happen next. And it totally, oh, man.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, sometimes they really subvert some fun expectations.
Oh, God. It's so funny.
And as a film lover like you are, Steve, I'll tell you right now. Watch Thor Ragnarok and keep an eye out for this. Thor has the best widescreen, like, compositions of any Marvel movie by far.
Nice. Oh, dude.
Like, all the other ones kind of look like almost... It makes the other ones look like made-for-TV movies.
There are scenes in Guardians of the Galaxy where they hit... They almost got that.
Because they
got
to get the scope. They have to fill in, literal...
Like, when you first...
Big shots.
Like, when you first see the quote-unquote floating space god, the dead god.
Sure, yeah.
Where they're going in. Like, that scene is close to what you get in Thor Ragnarok.
It's close, but Thor Ragnarok
is so much better.
It's, like, crazy. Like, huge, like...
Live oil paintings.
Like, oil paintings. Like, oil paintings, like, Hieronymus Bosch action scene, slow motion, and then, like, sets of Led Zeppelin. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. It's so cool. So that's coming out this week. Also coming out, actually, a lot of stuff. Lady Bird comes out this week. The Man Who Invented Christmas is the one where Dan Stevens plays Charles Dickens writing Christmas Carol. And My Friend Dahmer, which a lot of people have been checking out for the Crespo Hundo online. And it was on digital streaming or whatever for the last couple weeks, but it's now going to be on DVD and stuff if, for the Red Boxers out there. And how else do people get DVDs these days? Anyone buying them?
No idea.
No one's buying them, right?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not.
I think they are from, like, you know, it's just so tempting to see a movie that you've seen before and thought it was okay.
Yeah.
And it's available for $1.99.
Yes.
I think that's really, those are DVD sales.
I think so. Yeah. Absolutely nice and cheap. All right, Drew. What's new in theaters? I almost jumped the segment. What's new in theaters? What do you got?
In theaters this week.
Yeah, yeah.
A Wrinkle in Time.
What? A Wrinkle in Time. Adaptation of Madeline L'Engle's Wrinkle in Time, sort of religious book, a Christian book. She says it's a Christian book, like C.S. Lewis style.
I'm sure it's got the same fun little allegories.
It's really just
darkness and light.
Lightness versus darkness.
Good and bad.
Yeah, yeah, very, blah, very straightforward. Blah, blah. Light versus dark. But the trappings of it, again, trappings, I use that word again. The sci-fi fantastical thing where it's like different worlds, different planets, different alien species, I guess, or not even alien.
And yet,
I think
human.
I think more interdimensional.
Yeah.
I wonder if, because in the book, spoiler alert for the book, it was written in the 60s. In the book, obviously, these characters, like the ones that are played by Reese Witherspoon and Oprah, you see them in the trailer, they're in human form on Earth, but then when they go to another planet, it's like, all right, now we're off Earth. We're going to go ahead and show you our normal forms, and then they change into something else.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's going to happen in the movie, or are they just going to stay human? You know? Mm.
I don't know.
But it's for the kids. Are the kids going to be able to wrap their minds around interdimensional, shape-shifting, what else come out?
But they look like they kind of make it like that, you know what I mean? Like, simpler and more, it looks and like more it
may,
magical.
It looks like it may be simpler.
Yeah, I went to Hollywood Studios 3 days ago, and one of the things that they had was you could sit in a theater and watch like an elongated trailer. Like it was like 15 minutes long.
Whoa!
Yeah,
that's a chunk of the movie.
Yeah, and it very much looked like magical explanations that would make it easier for younger kids.
Okay, yeah, sure, make them understand what's going on.
Yeah. It was much more like that. Like, definitely not something that, you know, takes a lot of... You can be really young and get it.
All right, well, that's coming out this weekend. What else is coming out?
The Strangers, Pray at Night.
A Strangers sequel that no one asked for.
And yet we're getting
it. And yet we're getting it. And it's called Pray at Night, P-R-E-Y.
Correct.
Boo.
Also coming out this weekend, I know you've been looking at. I know you've been looking forward to this, Chris. The Hurricane Heist.
Hurricane Heist.
This movie looks so fucking insanely just retardedly
terrible.
Fun.
It looks terrible,
but awful. Like,
it's a Rob Cohen movie. Rob Cohen's best film is probably the first, The Fast and the Furious. He sucks. He's a bad director. He made Stealth. He made the third Mummy movie, Mummy: The Tomb of the Emperor Dragon, or something like that. He's not good, and yet he keeps getting to make movies.
Yeah.
And it's not fair. It's really not fair. And this one, it's about $600 million stolen at 200 miles per hour. What did that say in the trailer?
It's thieves attempt a massive heist against the U.S. Treasury as a Category 5 hurricane approaches one of its mint facilities.
Yeah, but it's not a Category 5 hurricane. It's like a Category 20.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a Roland Emmerich hurricane coming through, and they're trying to like rob the Treasury. It looks so bad
in 3D.
That's ridiculous.
I kind of want to see it.
Yep, I really do.
Yeah, what's up?
Also coming out, directed by Brother of Joel, starring...
Assuming a brother.
No, I just clicked on I just clicked. Okay. They are. They are.
Okay.
Brother of Joel, starring him, Charlize Theron, David Oyelowo, Gringo.
Yes, this looks interesting. A fun little dark comedy, thriller, heist type movie type thing going on, I think, sort of.
Yep.
Yep.
About weed.
About weed.
All right.
But weed is cool.
And last but certainly not least, Thoroughbreds.
Yes, Thoroughbreds. I've seen this trailer a few times.
I really want to see this movie, Chris.
It's, what's her name? Who's her face? And the dead guy.
Just when I thought, yeah, exactly. Anya Taylor-Joy, Olivia Cooke, and Anton Yelchin.
Anton Yelchin, the dead guy.
Yep.
Olivia Cooke, what was she just in? She was just in something. And
how did dude die?
How
did the dude die?
He was the one who got crushed by his car.
Oh,
that was in Star Trek.
He was the one in Star Trek.
She's going to be in Ready Player One.
We keep seeing her in the trailers. Yes, Olivia Cooke. She's going to be in Ready Player One. Yeah, he put his car in neutral and went to check his mail, and then it rolled back on him and crushed him and killed him.
Yeah.
Yeah, real bummer because he was a talented actor.
Oh, he was good, yeah.
I thought we'd already seen his last work, but I guess not.
Yeah, I thought so too. And a movie of his that came out last year.
Yeah.
But this one has still yet to come out, so it's his last one. It looks like a fun little movie about a girl who hates her stepdad because he's a dick, and her friend who's a psychopath is like, we should kill him. And then she's like, all right, let's do it. And then they get Anton Yelchin to get his gun because guns solve everything.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Just like all the problems that. All right, we're solving a lot of problems now here in the studio today. All the other problems that we can't solve, guns will solve those problems.
Yes.
Yeah, so there we go. What else coming out in theaters?
I think that's it.
All right, here we go.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove. Do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
All right, Dr. Drew. The doctor is in. Dr. Drew, please take it away.
Chris, this week, I recommend that everybody looking to get themselves a lawyer on retainer. Just you know, in case. Shit happens sometimes. You might ask me little questions. Maybe you need a will drawn up or maybe make a nice little podcast accompanying like you two gentlemen just did. And you know, lawyers can be useful, so pick yourself a lawyer, carve one out.
Lawyer up doth saith, Juicer Cogburn. Thank you, Doctor. Crespo Disco time, guys. Let's take a quick break. I don't even know why, but for some reason, I was thinking about The Crow. I was like, I know, right?
I was just thinking about The Crow like 3 days ago.
See, there you go.
There's a guy with a crow tattoo at Disney.
Oh, that's sad.
It was very sad.
That's very sad. Yeah.
Luckily, though, it looked really bad, which tells me that he got it when the movie was popular.
Like,
so it's like
over 20 years ago?
Yeah. Ooh. So it's like, well, at least you got it when, you know, later you probably wouldn't have.
Sure. What if he got it last year?
I was about to say, what if he got it yesterday?
Yeah, he just got it. It's like, man, I just found out about this movie, The Crow, you know about that movie?
So cool. The sequel, City of Angels.
Sequels
so
are even
awesome.
Better. They're even better. There's one with Eddie Furlong. Did you know there's one with Eddie Furlong?
Oh, dear God.
He's the crow.
No, he's not.
You want to see a strung out heroin crow? You got one with Eddie Furlong.
No.
The best
what
part
is the third one?
Fourth one.
He did the fourth one.
Yes.
What is wrong with him? Like,
he needed money. He needed to work.
And somebody gave him the
work. Someone threw him a bone.
Yeah.
Because he's been a wreck for a long time. He's not holding up well.
No.
Who knows what happened to him. Maybe he got caught up in that Hollywood, you know.
Hurricane.
The Hollywood Hurricane where they molest all the boys. The boys get molested too, you know, over there. You know about that?
The what?
There's a documentary called Open Secret that can't find distribution, even though it got good reviews at festivals. Because it's all about how young boys and young men are groomed at parties by like a group of producers and movie makers who are like molesting them all and sexualizing them and entering into relationships with all these underage kids who want to be actors.
Yeah.
And there's a documentary about it, and it's not being distributed. No one wants to put it out.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's scary, right? It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's out there. Hashtag Me Too. Hashtag Time's Up. Hashtag Crespo Disco. So best part of The Crow, the soundtrack. Fantastic soundtrack.
Oh yeah.
So I pulled a song from it.
The second one too.
The second one did have a good soundtrack too. It absolutely did, 100%. And also had Iggy Pop in it, which is great. Iggy Pop is one of the bad guys in the second one, and he's awesome. Iggy Pop's physique is actually what the original artist who came up with the Crow, he designed the Crow based on Iggy Pop.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and so then they cast him as the bad guy in the second one, kind of brings it all back around. But here's the Nine Inch Nails song that can only be found on the Crow soundtrack. It didn't come out on any other soundtrack.
That's weird.
Yeah, or not on any other soundtrack, excuse me. I'm going to say any other Nine Inch Nails album. Yeah, it's called Dead Souls, and I think it may even be a cover of... Cure song.
It actually reminds me of that Green Day song that was in Angus. That was never.
Oh, really?
That was never anywhere else.
It's funny how that they do that. They will come up with a song and.
Except their greatest hits. It's on their greatest hits album.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Because they wanted. That's why. Like, not enough people got that.
Yeah.
Got that soundtrack. All right, guys.
Of course, that's an MTV film.
Yeah. Well, why not come
on? That's like. I mean, it was their sequel to Joe's Apartment. Joe's Apartment.
With the bugs.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're gonna play the song and then we'll be back for the second act. Here we go.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
Unloved and Unwanted Cinema Crespediso is here. Episode 269 continues with Drusy Cogburn and Steve Etchy. Guys,
yeah.
We were on the radio on Wednesday night.
We were.
Yep.
The three of us.
Mm-hmm.
We did it.
We did.
We did it.
We made it. Crespo, we made it.
Crespo, we made it.
Finish him.
I did that one. I don't have any Drake drops.
Maybe you should get some.
I need to invent a board called Drake Drops.
I was actually recording State of the Beer Union when that was going on.
That's funny. I was hosting trivia when it was going on, so I couldn't listen to it.
I was...
Andrew doesn't give a shit.
Watching TV. Pretty sure watching Altered Carbon.
Yeah.
So none of us heard it.
Nope.
None of us heard our... debut of see now here's
it. I hate the sound of my own voice,
but it's so sonorous. So not, I've only seen that
you
word written down.
Don't know how to say
sonorous. I can spell it. Okay, I'm gonna talk something a little, not shit. I'm not gonna talk shit, guys.
Chris,
if Tom and Dan does this again, any podcasters that are listening, and I know
if
you, and I know you guys are listening, if any podcasters are listening and you get a chance to do a Tom and Dan segment, you get a 22 segment.
Like everyone, a 22
got,
segment?
Everyone got 22 minute segment. A 22. They call
a 22
it,
segment.
They called it. They called a 22 segment. Drew. It's
22
a,
segment.
It's
minute.
A 22 minute segment. It's a hot 22. They said we need your hot 22s. If you get asked to do a 22 minute segment, try not to spend 11 of those 22 minutes talking about how you're on the radio.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Did people do that?
True.
Did some people do that?
So I listened to all of them. I listened to every segment because I was very interested. First, I listened to Corporate Time anyway. I listened to Tom and Dan array of products.
Yes.
And yeah, so I was interested in seeing, hearing what all the shows did. And some shows did great. Some shows all acknowledged what was going on. And some, a minute or two, described what they do, got in, got out, and then like provided a great example of their show. I'll shout out our PFT brethren, sister shows, whatever you want to call it, Poking the Bear, Scotch a Good Conversation. They both did a great job in like taking their 22 minutes and representing what the show was. I ain't gonna name drop any other shows. Okay? All you guys shows, all your shows know who you are. Don't be spending your entire segment talking about we were on the radio. That's
exciting. It's so cool. No one's going to call in because it's not live.
It's not live.
And nobody cares because we're not on the radio regularly.
And
so
no one knows what to expect from us because our entire time on here is talking about how we're on the radio.
So we're... Yeah. I'm on TV.
Yeah, be on TV. Yeah, imagine people were just like, spend half their interview on Letterman, be like,
I'm on TV!
Dave, I appreciate you having me here, but I'm on TV! This is crazy, Dave! And he's like, I don't know, I mean, Dave Letterman's been retired for years now. Like, he's got his new show,
that Netflix show.
Have either of you guys seen it?
No, not yet.
I haven't
either. It's on my list.
I'm very behind.
Yeah, I plan on it.
I gotta get on that Altered Carbon. That
Altered Carbon,
really
seriously.
Everyone's really into it. Everyone's really
it was, if... If
it's sucking people in, apparently. It takes a few episodes.
That's what I hear. It's on my list. So
The thing is, it's because it's like all the good sci-fi ideas that have come out like the past 50 years, they just fucking have twisted into this show.
There you go. This is the greatest hits of sci-fi tropes.
It really is.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I've always been fine with pastiche.
But it's done well. And actually, my favorite character in the whole show was the AI Hotel.
You mentioned. Yeah, that sounds fun. The AI Hotel. I can't wait for podcasting to be taken over by AI. It's going to make it so much easier for us,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, seriously.
To produce a bunch of shows, just be like, programmed AI, you're a movie show, and then just does its thing. Mm-hmm. That's going
to
be great.
So, like, you're saying it'd be great if you didn't actually have to do anything.
We'll be doing so many other things.
That's true.
Like programming AIs.
Like, the AIs are going to be programmed. We're just picking the right ones or telling them which show to do.
We have to interview them first.
I'm just saying, why are they so there? Why are podcasters so thirsty? It was very cool, Tom and Dan, obviously, to do that. Corporate Time was a lot of fun. If you want to hear our 22 segment in 22 segments, see, Drew is a 22 segment. If you want to hear our 22 minute segment about bullshit, we talk about like the Olympics 2 weeks late. We talk about what else do we talk about?
I think we talk about some movies.
We talk about some random movie stuff and TV stuff. Uh-huh. We tried to hit a bunch of topics. Yeah, we tried to do it all. So check that out, guys.
Yeah. Well, and those things too, like what you're really trying to sell to people anyway is you. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah.
So
and what we do.
Yeah.
Which is why I wanted you here. It's like Steve knows what we do.
Yeah.
That's why you're fit, man. That's why you're the spare tire third mic. We pulling you out of the booty. To put you up on the belly.
The wagon wheel.
You know, out of the booty, onto the belly. That sounds weird.
Those wagon wheels break down all the time, man.
They do.
And then you gotta break out that new one and be like, pop it in there. Like, look, things are humming along.
We're fording the river, Chris!
That's what I'm talking about. We're fording the river. We couldn't do it without Steve Vecchi. Thank you for helping us ford this week's river.
No problem. That was fun.
And yeah, thanks for helping us out with that, man. That went well. It was really cool. And we got a couple of positive things from people. A couple people were like, hey, we heard that. That was cool.
Cool.
I think more than a couple.
Yeah?
Like four people.
Hey, that's two couples.
That's a couple, two couples. Couple. That's double.
That's a couple couple.
That's a double couple.
That's a couple squared. Yeah. It's a squared couple.
Oh, I like it.
There we go.
Yeah.
So we got a squared couple's worth of compliments on
that
our...
That sounds like even more. I like it.
On our nighttime radio...
debut. Excursion.
More people listen to us on the internets than on the radios.
Sure.
Who listens on the radios?
I don't know.
I mean, some people do, obviously.
Actually, when I was hosting trivia last week, this team came out, like college kids, three of them, and they were like, at the end of the night, like, we heard you on a WPRK. And I was like, what, on the Cursed Earth show? And then I was thinking, that tower's been broken since the hurricane. Like, you guys listen on the internet? You're weird. Yeah. You are so weird. Yeah. You're using your internet connection to connect to a radio show.
Yes.
Man. Yeah.
That's how they found you, Chris.
Well, that's
all. And they came out looking for you.
They're listening to their Rollins stuff. Yeah, nice. They're very nice. The Three Amigos. Shout out to them. They're not listening.
Nope.
I wondered why. I didn't realize it was the hurricane that knocked down the antenna that was the problem.
Yep.
I just knew that you couldn't hear it.
Yeah, the hurricane, it tipped over, and they refused to go up there and fix it.
Yeah.
Actually, I think Kurt said plans are in the works. Within the next couple of months, it'll be back up and running. I'm like, good, Kurt, because I ain't calling you to be on the internet. I'm on the internet. I'm calling you to be on the radio.
Exactly.
That's why I'm doing this.
You got to get all your mediums.
So, all my medium. I've been on the radio almost consistently now since 2010.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Almost on a weekly basis, thanks to the Curtis Earth Show. And, of course, before that, SBK Live. Which is, I guess, why I felt so nonplussed about it. It's cool that Cinema Crespity, so the program, we got to drop the PFT Media drop on the radio. That's really fun that we got to do that. The Trey and Swervy opening, the Chris Crespo radio show opening with the bleep in there. It's fun to do that, but it's like, it just is what it is. I mean, I've been on the radio. I know what the radio bump is. And you know what that radio bump is?
Not that big.
Nothing. it's nothing.
Not much.
You got to be on the radio every day for like hours at a time to really start getting something going. To be on it once a week is like slow going to build an audience. To be on it once. Period.
Squat.
Ain't doing you no.
That's just like, hey, guess what? I was on the radio. Okay, sweet.
Were you?
That's like saying you were in the newspaper.
Right. And I've been in the paper. I've been on the news.
Nope.
Look how famous I am.
Yeah.
You know how famous I am? I'm sitting here with you guys.
That's I was about to say. We've been recording a podcast every week for 5 years.
For 5 years, it's listened to around the world.
Yep.
Listened to internationally.
Yep.
This is how popular we are.
Yes, we are.
This podcast is yet to even have someone... I don't think anyone's even bought me a beer yet.
Nope.
Kevin said when he was on the radio, we were hanging out at the Copper Rocket one, someone came over and introduced himself. Oh, I love you. Can I buy you a beer? They bought him a beer. And then he turns to me and says, this is about as much as radio fame gets me.
Yep.
Someone every now and then buys me a beer.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'll take that. 5 years into doing the podcast, I don't think no one's bought me a beer doing a podcast.
Not a single one.
Somebody bought me a coffee and a donut.
There you go.
There we go.
So I need someone to buy me a coffee and a donut.
Yeah.
Boom.
And then you'll be on par with Steve Vecchi.
Then I'll be as famous. He's been doing this longer than we have. Almost twice the amount of time. That's why.
And he gets a coffee and a donut.
So we got to do this for another 5 years.
And then, you get coffee and donuts. Yes. Yeah. All right. So at the decade mark, that's what podcasters, every podcaster at the decade mark, we get free coffee and donuts.
That's the silver anniversary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's the silver anniversary. There you go.
Sweet.
I'm looking forward to what happens at 50 years. I don't know what it is.
50 years is the...
I think somebody gives you a dollar.
Someone gives you a dollar.
Nice.
And then you become a quote-unquote professional podcaster because you made money doing it.
But it'd be great, though, if everywhere you went, everybody you saw gave you a dollar.
Ooh.
But you're a podcaster, so you're an introvert. Yeah.
That's true.
So you don't see anybody.
So you don't see anyone. Unless you're the guest.
Oh, I would go out.
Wait, you're telling me you're going to pay me to go outside? All right, I'm here. What's up?
I'm collecting those dollar bills,
My
y'all.
New job would be going to outdoor concerts.
And collecting money.
My nude job would be going to outdoor concerts.
Of course it would.
Yeah. Get work. Nice even tan.
Yeah, I was about to say work on that tan.
Work on that tan. But also running to like, because I'm embarrassed by how out of shape I am. Like, well,
look at me naked.
Picture that gross looking nude guy.
Picture this though. The cops that arrest you would have to give you a dollar.
Yes. Give me that dollar. This is my nude job. Give me a dollar for arresting me because it's my 50-year anniversary of being a podcaster. Oh. By this point, I would also be pushing 80.
Yeah. Oof. Same here. Right. And I don't think I'm going to live that long.
Yeah, you know what? With my shape I'm in,
No.
Just trying to get to that average age of 72.
Mm-hmm. My medications kill me early.
Are they?
Uh-huh.
There you go.
Yep.
All right. Okay. Sweet. Good to know. Gonna get you on a better health plan then through PFT Media. Oh, here we go. Who's the guy who rules the world? Who's the guy who rules the world? Who's the guy who rules the world? You ready, Drew? Mm-hmm. All right, here we go. He fell down a well.
No,
I win.
And congratulations, Steve Etch, you win. Drew is 5-3 so far this year. Mm-hmm. This week's game is called Huey Lewis and the News.
Okay.
Why did I call it that? Oh. Huey Lewis and the News. I'm going to name the movie. You tell me the sport featured in that movie.
Okay.
Alright. So why is it called Huey Lewis and the News?
I think we're going to find out.
Because of sports. They have an album called Sports.
That's a deep one.
Chris. Oh, yeah, deep cut.
That's a deep pull.
It's her best album. Sports.
So awful.
Name the sport featured in this movie, Drew. Two groups of five, A and B. Which one do you want? A. Here you go. You're getting group B, number one, The Sandlot.
Baseball.
All right. Number two, Little Giants.
Baseball.
That's football.
Yeah.
Number three, Hoosiers.
Basketball.
Correct. Number four, Kicking and Screaming.
Soccer.
Correct. Number five, MVP : Most Valuable Primate.
What in the actual fuck?
If you say baseball or basketball, you're racist.
I mean,
don't influence the man. Now you're throwing that out there. MVP : Most Valuable Primate.
Valuable Primate. What do monkey? What sports do monkeys play?
Now we're getting racist. Specious.
Most valuable.
Animalist.
Yes, this one's hard because it doesn't. Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean.
What year is this movie?
I am not saying.
Okay.
Because I didn't write it down.
Ah.
Tennis.
Hockey.
Oh.
Hockey. Okay, that makes
monkey
sense.
Monkey on ice.
Monkey on ice. I know. The shenanigans. So funny. So funny. All right. Steve, you ready?
Yes.
Number one, Ladybugs.
Soccer.
Correct.
Number Love two, that movie.
We Are Marshall.
Oh, my God. Okay, football.
Correct. Number three, Like Mike.
Oh, basketball.
Correct. Number four, Million Dollar Arm.
Okay, baseball.
Correct. Number five, Invincible.
Son of a bitch. Football.
That's correct. There we go. Well done, Steve.
Yes.
Knocking Drew down to a record of 5-4. 5-4.
This is not your year.
Finish him.
Three finish hims for the show. Three finish hims. I'll throw in one of these.
I'll make a huge comeback. I'll probably whoop up on Simon Time this year. Maybe I'll get finally revenge on Curtis Earth.
Yeah.
We got, we do have a run here of three people that's never been on the show before coming up soon, so we'll see how those go. You never know, those are question marks. How will Drew do against the mystery people?
I'll fuck them up.
Who, I've only met one of them.
Punch
Podcasting's weird, man. I'm inviting strangers into my home to look at all my expensive stuff.
Yeah, same here.
So back to thirsty podcasters, right? What's up with these people? No, I'm kidding.
It's a desert, bro. It's a desert out there.
It is a desert. We're all in the entertainment desert, and we're just like, I just got so much tent to give to the world. All this tent is pouring out of me. What am I going to do with it?
I hate it when he calls it tent.
Yeah.
We're slinging tent.
That's why. Oh, God. And that. Yes, exactly, Steve. Thank you for that reaction.
Not that that's the first time I've heard him say it, but it kills me every time.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. At least I have someone who shares the sentiment.
I'm just saying, you know what it's like when you sling that sweet, sweet tent.
So awful. It does not sound well in the ears.
I'm turning it around. It's very bad, but it's good.
But it's fun. It's fun.
It's awful.
Just strap it on. Try it sometimes. Just take it for a walk. See how it feels.
Nope. I'm not gonna do it.
Just give it a ride.
It wouldn't be prudent, Chris.
Wouldn't be prudent. Not gonna do it. That's a good George H.W.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's for the 90s kids.
80s not gonna
kids.
Do it. Not wouldn't be prudent.
Not gonna do it. Slinging that tent.
Not at this juncture.
Not at this juncture. Slinging tent at this juncture. Not a good thing to do.
Wouldn't be prudent.
Wouldn't be. Even did the fingers. Wouldn't be prudent.
Wouldn't be prudent. I watched, you know, Dana Carvey, SNL back in the day.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, so good.
I watched Bill Clinton. How about that? Wait, I'm slinging that tent too, guys. Hey,
oh, he's slung plenty of tents.
You guys want to sling tent with me? Hey, it's part
that of... sounds like the dirtiest thing ever.
Yeah,
slinging tent with Clinton, man. That should be the name of a podcast.
I don't think he uses tents.
Oh, take that.
Slinging tent with Slick Willie.
Take that, Dick Tent. Dick Tent was George W.'s... Vice President.
Richard Tent.
Old Richard Tent. Richard Tent was my private investigator that I hired to follow that. Never mind.
So what were we talking about? Something movie related, I hope.
Yeah. It's like Ishtar out there in the podcast world where people are like, we're in the middle of the desert, so thirsty, but I want to sing and dance for someone. Ishtar's about a singer and dancer in the desert.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Have you ever seen Ishtar?
Nope.
Have you ever seen Ishtar?
Yeah.
It's Warren Beatty and Dustin Hoffman, and it's a comedy. They're actors, and they're trying in the desert. I have to set up. They're going through the desert, and they're like entertainers, like vaudevillian, I think, maybe.
How long ago was this? Because I
70s.
Okay, because I was gonna say Warren Beatty. Whatever happened to him? Like
he got old and crazy.
He's a little senile, crazy. Kind of got out of the spotlight for a while there. Yeah. But he did make a movie a couple years ago.
I still just remember the last one I remember that had him in it was Bullworth.
And I then I think after Bullworth, he didn't do anything for like a decade.
Is he still married to what's your face? Annette Bening, right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, I think so. Yes. And and after Bullworth, he was like, just stop doing stuff. He wanted to make a Howard Hughes movie for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally got it made like 2 years ago. It's called Rules Don't Apply. But it's not really about Howard Hughes. It's about Howard Hughes' like driver falling in love with his like assistant or something. And he plays Howard Hughes.
Okay.
Yeah, and he directed it. But it's supposed to be a very light movie, a little rom-com. It's very inconsequential. It's weird that he didn't make a movie for so long and then he comes back with something that's just like, yeah, like... It's like a souffle.
Yeah.
Very light and airy.
I like it.
And it's enjoyable, but then it's gone. He was like one of the biggest movie stars in the world for a while there.
He was Dick Tracy, for crying out loud.
God damn it, he was Dick Tracy. I haven't seen that one in a while.
Weird movie. I haven't
seen that in a while. With the Oscars tonight, most people obviously hearing this after the Oscars. Drew and I are going to have to do some sort of quick bonus episode this week to recap that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing Beatty back with Faye Dunaway, original Bonnie and Clyde, to redo Best Picture nominees and winner.
Because
when it got messed up last year, they were the presenters.
Mm-hmm.
So they're giving it to them again.
Interesting.
Yeah. Nice.
So
I'm bringing Beatty time. Back.
Oh, that was a parody. Steve, if you want modern parodies of Warren Beatty with Warren Beatty references, hit up Steve Etchy.
Yeah.
At Weird Etchy Yankovic.
That's my specialty.
At BeattySongs.com. And he'll give you his
baiting
quotes.
Songs?
At both. Baiting songs and Beatty
is
songs.
That, now, is that AI or A or just straight A?
Both. We got it all covered.
Dude.
Yeah,
so if you misspell artificial. it all goes to one inbox. Okay. Yeah, we got you covered.
Cool.
So it's all good. Don't worry about it. Yeah, man, I'm just saying some podcasts are like Ishtar out there. I'm like, guys, we're so happy to be on the radio. I was like, God damn it, talk about something. Talk about something.
Chris, I'm so happy to be on podcasts. So cool.
No, you're not. Now you're just lying.
Yeah, I am.
Straight up lying to us.
I don't care at all. It makes no difference to me.
Okay, so in order to continue solving the world's problems, Boots are booties or cabooses, but bonnets are bellies, for sure.
Bonnets are bellies?
The boots are now the wheels, and they the bonnet be. Is the hood. We got that. That's taken care of.
Yeah.
We're arming the teachers and the students.
Both.
That's done.
Mm-hmm.
Taken care of.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of confusing, though, too.
What are we going to do with these podcasters, man? They're so thirsty. What are we going to do with them?
Yeah.
Oh, we can throw them in the ocean.
Throw them in the ocean.
There's plenty of water there.
We're going to throw the podcasters in the ocean because there's plenty of water. Thank you, Drew. Throw the podcasters in the ocean. Throw them all in the ocean.
Toss them right in the middle.
It's probably like half the population. Man.
That's fine. Here it is.
Oh, you know what?
Here it is. It's half the population.
Steve.
That's fine.
It's one step in the right direction.
It is one step in the right direction. Throw all the pod. And I mean all the podcasters.
Including us.
We'll lead the charge. Mm-hmm. Follow us, you bunch of lemmings.
We're all going to the ocean.
We're going to the ocean.
Well,
we're
jumping it would turn out like Crash. Like Trash Island. You know what I mean?
We're
like
all floating out there.
Everything would buoy together. So in
the middle of the Atlantic, we're going to be all floating together.
We could live on top of podcasters.
I'm pretty sure we are the only podcast that is equipped for international waters.
Yeah, we've been on international waters forever. We have monkey captains and everything.
I'm about to update my passport.
I mean, we've got a boat.
Yeah, our passports are good.
We've got a boat. We've got monkey captains.
We've been out there.
We've done this.
Yes.
We're prepared.
We've broadcast from international waters. We've done it. Follow us into the ocean, podcasters.
Yes.
Because we know you're all listening. All of you are listening. Every single one of you. None of them are listening.
No.
Not a single one.
No.
No.
Which is good, too.
Yeah, I'm just fine because, you know, when you don't say names, then everyone, they're all, the thirstiness comes with, and I know this intimately.
Mm-hmm.
I know what this is all about very personally, very intimately. A lot of these podcasters have massive egos.
Oh, yeah.
And very low self-esteem.
Yes.
And that's a bad combination. So when you don't mention a podcast name, then they, with their massive ego, will insert name here. Because their low self-esteem allows them to think that I am shitting on them directly.
Chris.
When really I'm just shitting on everyone equally.
Chris, you're so vain.
You're so vain.
You probably think the song is about you.
Speaking of Warren Beatty, he thought that song was about him.
Really?
Yeah. And who was it? Patsy Cline?
Yeah.
She had to be like, no, Warren. This is not about you, buddy.
Patsy Cline is the shit.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's great.
Because you're so vain.
Because you're so vain, you know. Hashtag me too.
Are you sure that was Patsy Cline?
No.
I'm not sure. That's why I asked.
No, and I'm not sure either.
Oh, okay. Drew just gave me the definitive yes. That's fine. I appreciate that. I like that. Fake it till you make it stop. That's what we're all about. We're built on that. I just want to keep yelling about podcasters.
A little bit of self-hatred, Chris. Some self-loathing here.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit.
Well, I do hate podcast listeners first. I do.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
But I also.
So you hate yourself.
I've started as a podcast listener. I guess this is also coming from. Yeah, so it is a combination. So what. And this has actually happened before. Again, I'm not saying no names. Which may be the problem.
Hashtag no names.
Hashtag no names. Hashtag no more heroes. Hashtag no names. Two more ways to solve world's problem. Everyone should be anonymous on the internet. No more names. Everyone should be anonymous.
Even to each other.
To each other in person. Then in our Facebook pages should all be anonymous.
And it's like law that you can't say who you are.
Who is who. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We all should also be forced to learn how to code.
Ooh.
And then we can join anonymous.
Oh.
Yeah. Then you can be anonymous with anonymous.
Anonymous within anonymous.
Trash in that whole line of thought.
Total anonymity.
2 years in a row now, message has been on point. And even though now with PFT Media, I don't know, I might have to like message all our shows or whatever, mm-hmm. let them know. My message will continue to be on point. We're only a couple months away from the Orlando Weekly Awards. Doing that nonsense again. And everyone wanting to be like campaigning to be voted best of.
Thirsty
as fuck. The epitome of thirsty. When these shows are doing this knowing they're not the best. They are not the best at all. Part of the reason why I never campaigned to, hey, nominate us for best podcast. Cinema Crest, please win the best podcast. Don't be stupid.
No.
I ain't stupid. I'm not delusional.
I mean, we are the number one film podcast in Florida.
Number one movie podcast in Florida. The movie podcast. Better go fuck yourself. We're not the best. All right, we're not the best in Orlando. But mm-hmm. how can you quantify the best? Podcasting is an art.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes into the Oscars. The whole... I've been saying this for years, ever since I've been on SBK Live.
Awards for art is whack.
Whack as fuck. It's so stupid to be like, we have these winners in this room full of losers. You've all made beautiful art. Now come in here and stack up against each other. And now you guys suck because you're not as good as these people. We have people actively rooting against other movies because they want their favorite movies to win. It's so stupid to put everything. Just like the movies for what they are. Reward them with money and attention, and reward the artists with like letting them do more work. How about that?
Yeah.
Instead of this big old circle jerk that Hollywood likes to do, where they bend backwards so far to kiss their own ass to end up with their heads in their rectum. How about that? That was a very tortured metaphor there that I strive to.
You tried to put it together.
I tried to put it together, and I couldn't make it work. It's just, God. If you listen, even here on the East Coast, starting about 8:30, 9 o'clock at night, if you go outside and, like, if you listen very closely in the wind, you can hear the sound of thousands of people masturbating furiously to their own work.
Oh, yeah.
And it is gross. It's gross in so many ways. Definitely going to watch the whole thing, all 5 hours of it. And
yeah. I am definitely not.
And I'm going to hate tweet it. Yeah, you don't got no reason.
No, I was going to say I don't have to.
I need stuff to shit on when we do our bonus episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch the 5-minute recap. It's fine.
There you go. They do those quick recaps online later that you can watch. Get the big hits. So, yeah, like when I did my Orlando Weekly rant last year. And the rant is, sure, podcasts are thirsty. But what's happening is Orlando Weekly is then taking that and taking advantage of it to subsidize their garbage journalism. Uh-huh. You could take all the... How long has the Weekly been around, maybe? 20 years? 25, 30 years? I moved here in 2000. They were already a thing. You could take all the important, good articles written in the Orlando Weekly over the years.
Probably fit it into one magazine.
You could fit it into a nice, easy pamphlet that you could hand out downtown to people that they could, they could look at real quick and then throw it away.
Yeah.
You know, it's a garbage rag. That's why they give it away for free, and that's why the back 10 pages are all ads for like sex lines, escort services, and shit like that. And if you're listening to this and you listen to the Weekly, I don't know why you're listening. Second, go fuck yourself. Who gives a shit? You choose to work there. It's cool.
Yeah.
We all have our shit jobs that we do.
Yes, we do.
So I went on my rant about how it's Orlando Weekly just using it to make money, to get ad revenue. I mean, what they do is, Steve, when you get nominated for your category or whatever it is, and they then hit you up. Like, don't you want to put in an ad in your Orlando Weekly convincing people to vote for you for Best Of? And then it's all processed just to get clicks on the website and to make the monies. Can they hear dogs? Are people hearing dogs?
More than likely. Yeah, how can they not?
We got new dog neighbors.
Oh, you got new ones?
We got new ones. They added dogs now.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm just giving them the fucking dog pounds.
Just what you've always wanted.
My life is going great these days, Steve.
So you got two, what, two houses?
Two on the end.
Two units down, two dogs. Next door.
Two or three.
Now two or three?
Yeah.
How about over there? Have they got any?
No. They're an older couple. They can't handle a dog. If they get one, they're going to get an old one, which are like...
Or a small one.
Yeah, get one go to your animal shelters, people. Go to these places and save these dogs.
You get like a Shih Tzu if you're old.
Yeah, a nice small one. Or I am saying save a mutt from a shelter, but man, if you get a Bichon Frise, you will fall over that thing. So I did this all. I did my yearly rants about how the Orlando Weekly Awards, it's a garbage popularity contest. Podcasters stop being so thirsty feeding into it. And, you know, let's uplift each other instead of fighting against each other to see who is the best when none of you are the best. You know, no one's got the best nothing in this town. There's always someone doing something better, no matter where you are. so then I find out months later that some podcast, a podcaster who I never even met personally, declared me to be some sort of asshole, a dick. Because they thought that I was like talking shit about all the podcasts and that I was just shitting on everyone. Meanwhile, I've been here day one, like trying to uplift everyone and do this whole podcast communal thing. And then PFT Media is an extension of that. And this guy's like, oh, where, you know, oh, this guy's so mean, blah, my feelings have been hurt. Oh, I'm so sad. And it's like, get over yourselves, man. First off, not even thinking about you when I'm talking about this stuff. And then second, why are you gonna be a baby about it? You know?
Yeah. His pussy hurts.
Oh, I'll do that. Yeah. He doesn't have a pussy. He's a guy. He's got a penis. Maybe his penis hurts.
You sure about that?
I mean, it'd be bad enough if his penis hurt.
I mean...
Now you're going to change his genitals?
He sounds like a vagina to me. I mean, if it sounds like a vagina... And it looks like a vagina. And it flaps like a vagina. The chances are it's a vagina. No.
Drew breaks it down to the genitals. That's what he does. He likes to reduce a person to their... to the reproductive organs, and you know, it's very old school.
It is
very old school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, why is so thirsty?
Did you say this?
It's like, it's like the Joker. Why so thirsty? Did you say that's right. You told us. That's right. And we got
desert ocean.
Ocean.
Did you say this was a podcast?
I forgot, problem solved. I forgot that we figured it out already.
Problem
Did
solved.
You say this was a podcaster or just like a general like listener of podcasts?
No, it was a podcaster.
Oh, okay.
It was a podcaster who declared me to be a dick.
Okay.
Without even knowing me. Which is fine.
I was going to say, he definitely doesn't know you because you're not a dick.
I'm a nice guy. I'm a great dude. I'm a great dude. I love Death Wish. The libtards are the worst. Arm the kids. We're all on the same side here. It's all good.
At the same time, Snowflake, SJW.
Oh, we got to get rid of all of them. We Spartanize the babies. Get rid of the SJWs.
So you're no longer Orlando's number one libtard cuck Snowflake?
No, man. I am now Orlando's number one Alex Jones supporter. He's being run out. You know, he's being hit with sexual allegations now. They're just cooking it up to get rid of him because he's so powerful, man.
Well, here's the thing.
Man.
Everybody kind of knows that Alex Jones kind of likes to be shirtless.
Apparently.
Like, that's like...
I didn't know that, but...
That's his M.O. Like, if you look up pictures of Alex Jones at, like, some of his rallies and, like, the country music concerts that he frequents and things of that nature, like, he...
Sure, as a public.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's so fit, Drew.
I mean, he's in shape, and if that shape you mean is round.
Round! Mm-hmm. Round is certainly...
It's a shape!
A shape.
Yes, it is.
It is definitely a shape. Yeah, so it's like, I don't know, podcasters, just be better. I'm just pleading to be better. You're all good, but be better.
Are you asking people to be better than they can be?
I am. I know that's folly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But
it's
works.
It's hard to even ask myself to be better.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to be told that. I need to be told that every once in a while.
I think so, too.
You're doing well.
I think so, too. And if you listen to all the other podcasts, right, talking about their ACT recaps, everyone's like, everyone did great, blah, 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 across the border, everyone did great. Yeah, I mean, everyone turned in a product. Everyone turned in a product, and most of them sounded like they were, like, radio, you know, level in terms of quality. No one shat the bed in terms of, like, put out something that's literally not listenable.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they all were not equal. They were all certainly not equal. Even taking out Cinema Crest, which objectively speaking, I think it's probably one of the best ones. And objectively speaking, taking that out, I mean, some people did great, some segments were great, and some were not so hot, and some were just like, we're on the radio, woo!
We're on TV, guys.
And we're on TV! And what else could we be on? We're on movies! Man, that one's really loud. If we're in movies, it'll be really loud.
I mean, that'd probably pretty cool.
PFTmedia.com!
Oh! Saw you with a box! Oh, that's a box button. That's for later.
Yeah.
Hit that button early. Oops!
You blew the box load, Chris.
Sorry, Steve. I blew the box load.
It's a good thing you didn't do that when we were on the radio.
I know, right? No, we were awesome on the radio. We did great.
Everything went really smoothly. I think part of it too is that it was 20. I think a lot of it was that it was.
I'm gonna jack off too. I did that this morning. That's how I wake up every morning.
A lot of it too, I think, was that it was 22 minutes long. It's like
when we
finished, it was like it's over.
Yeah,
like you know.
Yeah, we had to do a quick segment, get in, get out. I had a bunch of stories that I wanted to get done with, so it was moving. It was good. We did a good job. We did great. Since no one else will pat us on the back, we got to do it ourselves. Besides, for those four people, I can name them. Who are they?
We can do a train with Peter, three, right?
Scott's a good conversation. He hit us up. Good guy. Jason, out in L.A. Good dude.
Mm-hmm.
Larry, online. Nice guy.
Okay.
That's three.
And Chris forgot the fourth.
What do you mean?
I think it was just three. I think it was just three people.
That's not a couple.
No, it wasn't a couple. It was a couple and a half. I blew it. Did you hear the dog? You hear the dog? Guys, this is my life now. So, I guess that's it. I don't know what else I'm going to say about that. I just wanted to...
Are you done pontificating? Are you going to step down from the box now?
Pontificating? That's when the Pope gets on his box. And the
like I said, are you going to step down from your box now?
No, I like it up here.
Okay. I mean, we can get you a pedestal if you'd like.
Well, look. First, we got to find a box big enough
that
I can get on my high horse and walk the high horse onto the box... Which is on a pedestal.
Yeah, you should use a soapbox. Yeah.
Well, yeah. So we need a big. That's what I'm saying. The soapbox has to be big enough for my high horse.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah. I can be on those things,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll bring the pedestal up there with me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For my ideas, I'm gonna put my ideas on a pedestal.
And then, so I mean, we should probably get you a set of binoculars so you can, you know, see us from way high up there.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard to look down on you
it
from
is.
That high up.
It really is. You yeah. know, like I said, we might have to get you some binoculars.
Give me some cool binoculars
so you can look down on us properly. So
well, some cool ones with like flames on the side of them.
Well, besides, you're gonna spend most of your time with your nose in the air.
Yeah. It's gonna be, so it's gotta be yeah. yeah. It's gotta be curved.
I gotta look down yeah. my nose at you from all the way up there. Yeah, this is gonna be. And
you need, a box of Kleenex for when you your nose starts bleeding.
We're gonna need money for this. So, Drew, if you could please start a GoFundMe,
okay,
to fund a Kickstarter,
yes,
to get all this going. Uh-huh. And we need the correct. GoFundMe money is for
yes.
Kickstarter.
Yes.
And then once we get that, then we can open up a Kickstarter
mm-hmm.
to buy the soapbox.
Yes. And he needs an equestrian
and a high horse
for
one thing at a time. One thing at a time.
And the pedestal. Yeah.
One thing at a time, Drew. What'd you say?
Huh? Oh, I said.
Equestrian?
Oh, yeah. I said.
Well, you're going to have to learn how to ride this high horse.
Yeah.
One thing at a time, Drew.
Yeah, you're going to name it, you know, for the.
Then we're going to have to get a lot of drugs to get the horse
yeah,
high.
Yeah.
What the hell are you trying to say?
For the crowdfunding.
What, it needs a name?
Yeah.
Help Chris talk down to everyone.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. I'm just saying. After 5 years, maybe blanket support is enough. Maybe it's time for a different approach. Maybe it's time for a more honest approach. Tough love. Maybe the podcasting community now needs some tough love.
You want to Spartanize the babies, Chris?
I want to Spartanize the babies. I want to Spartanize those babies. Goddamn, that shit. I just want to be able to, you know, make fun of people and you know, use the N-word with impunity.
Yeah.
I want to make fun of gays. I want to make homophobic remarks. I want to say, if I don't like something and it's stupid, I want to be able to say, that's gay, and not have a bunch of gay people be mad at me.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be able to do these
get a
things.
Female intern you can harass?
Yes, we'll smack yeah. her ass.
Grab her by the pussy.
And be like, hey, this is the way it was done in the 50s. It's cool.
Don't forget to grab her by the pussy.
Yeah, grab her by the pussy. I'll move on her like a bitch. That's what the president said. That's a presidential quote. It's a quote. He's a leader.
He is
air leader.
I mean, it's one thing to be shocked by that statement, and you should be. But for the most part, like for me, when I was listening, I was like, that sounds so full of slang. you know what I mean? Like
to
the fact that it came out of like a 70 whatever year old
71 years old,
you know, white dude's mouth.
Gross.
It's like, what?
Grosso barfo. And then he's like, it's locker room talk. No. Fuck you, you piece of shit. Not a single locker room I've been in has talked like that, you asshole.
And most locker rooms I've been in have had elderly people in them if you go to gyms.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're too busy blow drying their balls.
I was about to say standing around butt ass naked.
Butt ass naked. Yep. Moved under like a bitch. There we go. Yeah, this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my god. It's tough love. From now on, Spartan has to be.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beach?
That's right, the most important segment in all of podcasting. Other podcasts wish they had something as important as a Cinema Crespediso movie news segment. Guys, Brad Pitt rumored to be dating Jennifer Lawrence. Oh, shit. But first off, Steve.
Are you serious?
Yes. Well, we need a Justin Bieber update. Steve, what's up with the Biebs?
Oh, the Biebs. He is buying a new laptop today.
Oh, there we go. Do you know a brand?
Huh?
Do you know a brand?
Oh, Lenovo.
Oh. So yeah. I always figured him to be an Apple guy.
I thought he'd be.
I'm a little surprised.
Asus type of dude.
All right. There we go.
Lenovo. Very good. Very good stuff.
He's got enough money not to get an Asus.
To not get into ISIS?
Asus.
Oh, an Asus. It's rumored. There was rumors that Jennifer Lawrence and Brad Pitt are sort of seeing each other, but I think she may have shot those down. I don't know. It's just rumors.
Yeah, but I mean, that would just be I don't know. That'd be weird.
Well, she just got a relationship with Darren Aronofsky, who's like 48.
I was about to say.
Well, no,
it's Brad Pitt.
He's Brad Pitt.
He makes every vagina wet.
He is legend.
That's true. No, that's true. I don't know why.
And she's
but it is just weird to me.
Academy Award winning actress.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have a reason. It just
okay.
It just seems
it
weird.
Just struck you as weird.
Yeah.
Let me see. I'm gonna use this one for. Nope. I've used all these drops. Here. Oh, there you go. This Week in Rape Culture. Updated. This Week in Rape Culture, guys. The Weinstein. First off, Weinstein Company got bought by a group of women.
Okay.
Which is awesome.
Yep.
And then Harvey Weinstein, his insurance company, has denied his claims to cover his legal expenses for all the sexual harassment stuff that's coming down against him.
Nice.
So they're like, you've done this to yourself. We
pay for it.
There's no, yeah, you are liable for this. You're paying for all of your own legal expenses. So his insurance companies have denied his claims.
Makes sense.
Yep. And it's going to court now, so he's not being sued, or he is suing his insurance company. It is not good for Harvey Weinstein. Fuck him. He's gross.
Of course, I'm sure he has plenty of money that, you know what I mean? Like, it won't.
Maybe. That money's going to run out. He's also looking at legal charges being brought against him by the LAPD, NYPD, and Scotland Yard. So we're talking about international rape.
Scotland Yard, holy crap.
Yes. His grossness has gone around the world. He's a monster. Speaking of Brad Pitt, first off, cast in Quentin Tarantino's new movie.
Okay.
Which now has a title. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
And it's Pitt and DiCaprio will play two characters in which DiCaprio is a TV actor known for westerns and Brad Pitt is a stuntman.
Okay.
And they're going to be then, I believe, in scenes together a lot, which is going to be great. And also it seems that they're going to be, like, his character's going to be neighbors to Sharon Tate.
Ah.
So that's how they're tying in the whole Tate thing. Sharon Tate murder.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. But Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio, never been in a movie together.
No, we'll see how it works.
And now they're going to be in a Tarantino movie together. That's going to be fun. Yeah. That could be great.
That could be awesome.
That could be really good. It could be really good. It could be a Gosling, Russell Crowe level pair up there, like with the nice guys.
Yeah, well, which is fantastic.
This is his first time with Tarantino too, isn't it?
Leo? No, they both worked with him on Inglourious Basterds and Django Unchained, respectively.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
He was Calvin Candy.
And duh. Yeah.
He was a great bad guy in that movie.
He was amazing.
He was so good. Also, again, speaking of Brad Pitt, his Plan B Entertainment still working on World War Z 2.
Okay.
Which looks awkward when you write it down with the Z and the 2. Mm-hmm. Strange.
Yeah, that does look weird.
Right? It was on again, off again. They're struggling to get it made. Brad Pitt got David Fincher to sign on as director,
ooh,
which is wild.
David Fincher's World War Z 2.
Yes, correct. But is it going to be a PG-13? That's what they want to make. You know,
what?
David Fincher makes R-rated
movies.
Fincher
does not make PG-13 movies.
But he may when he makes this one right here. So now it's looking like World War Z, blah, blah, blah. It's just that it's happening.
Yeah. I don't think you can make a good movie like that and make it PG.
Oh, you know what happened here?
I mean, 13.
It got pushed back a little bit so Pitt could do the Tarantino movie.
How weird would it be if it was PG?
To be PG? Yeah, make it a kids movie. Make it a straight-up kids movie.
David Fincher makes a kids movie. I kind of want to see that now.
With zombies.
That I would see.
I'd love to see a PG zombie movie.
That I would see. Yeah, that looks like a cartoon. It got pushed back a little bit to accommodate Pitt's schedule, but he's still working on it. David Fincher's still on it, so there you go. Zack Snyder put out a picture of himself on, I think, that new Vero thing, which people should not be joining. Don't join it. It's bad.
What's Vero?
Vero is a new social media thing that's owned by a guy who made all his money on exploiting slave labor in the UAE and out in the Middle East. And Vero, once you sign up, there's no delete your account function.
Ugh.
Yeah. If you want to delete your account, you have to email them and ask them to delete your account. And then they'll be like, we'll get back to you in 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's very shady. They'll stay away from them. But anyways, Zack Snyder put out a picture. Just a bearded face with him. His big old beard.
Mm-hmm.
And he writes under it, guess I got to shave this thing. Someone responded, or you could just remove it via CGI. Ha, 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 ha. Zack Snyder responded, we all know that doesn't work.
Yes, we do, Zach. At least you are self-aware as to what the fuck went on in that awful abortion of a movie.
Well, that happened after he got removed.
No, yeah.
After he left. Yep. We're talking about Steve. You haven't seen Justice League, right?
No. Nope.
Superman's got CGI upper lip, which is very, very distracting.
His whole upper mouth.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, because they did reshoots while he was on Mission Impossible 6. He's a bad guy in the movie. He has a mustache. Paramount was like, we're not going to let you shave this guy's mustache, and then we have to have this guy wear a fake mustache the whole movie. Mm-hmm. It's on you. You're the ones that had to do reshoots. So Warner Brothers like, well, then we'll have to CGI out this mustache.
Oh, my God.
It looks awful.
It looks terrible. Steve, watch it. Yeah, as an editor, you'd be fascinated by that. You can just go to YouTube.
Because that's a lot of work.
So much work. And he's in a number of scenes. And the movie starts with a close-up of his face.
And it looks awful.
And when he smiles, you see too much gum. It's weird, man.
It's really bad.
It's really strange. His face does weird things.
Too much gum. So, like, is weird.
Yeah. So Zack Snyder throwing shade at Warner Brothers for screwing that up. And Chris Hemsworth has been cast in the Men in Black spinoff movie.
Nice.
They've been trying to make a new generations or a side generation type thing.
He's funny.
He's very funny.
He is.
So they cast him, and for a partner, they're reportedly looking for a black woman to be his partner.
Sure.
I'm gonna go ahead and nominate Tiffany Haddish. Had he not, she's hot right now, mm-hmm. coming off a Girls Trip, very popular. She's very funny. Her and Hemsworth could be good together.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to be the straight man.
Yeah.
In that relationship, no. The straight man can be the old the chief, whoever's running the whole thing.
Mm.
You know?
Really?
Yeah.
It always works off better. Straight man, goofy guy.
Well, then who's going to be the straight man of that one?
Exactly. That's what I want to know. That, I mean... Depending on who they cast as the, you know, Mr. Hemsworth's side,
yeah.
Right now I would assume that he's the funny one.
I would assume so, yes. Because we're exploring his comedy chops.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would assume. So that means you would think more of a serious...
But he could still play, do the straight man befuddled by his partner thing. Mm-hmm. You know, this partner is so frustrating. The Danny Glover to a Martin Riggs,
mm-hmm.
to a Mel Gibson.
I think it works the best as partners like that.
Yeah, always does.
Okay. Avengers: Infinity War, coming out 1 week early.
The Infinity War,
instead of coming out on May 4th, I think, will now be coming out April 27th.
So...
1 week early.
How does that work?
It just is. It just is.
Yeah, but what is it competing with now?
Nothing, because the weekend before the first week of May is always a dump weekend. For example, a year or two ago, it was The Circle, Tom Hanks movie. Gotcha. It's always something small. Something bigger will come out 2 weeks before, so we'll see what's being... It's going to get trampled in its wake. But So Avengers come out a week early. Why? We don't know. It just is.
Interesting.
It just is.
It doesn't happen very often.
To make the money. No, it doesn't, especially this close to it coming out. They're like, you know what? We don't need that week of post-production. It'll be ready by then. You know what, guys? For the Vox Populi.
I know what you've all been waiting for. The world famous
Vox Populi.
We don't have any emails.
Chris, you know what? Maybe it was the rapture.
It was the rapture. The podcast listening rapture?
Mm-hmm.
We lost all our podcast listeners?
They're all gone.
Well, when I put this out and then I see it's like one download, because it's the one download that I did to get that number, I'm like, oh man, it happened.
Yeah.
I miss all the listeners I was hating on. I miss them now. No, where do they go? The joke's on me. No. I fell down a hole. That could be it. Well, no Vox Populi, but Steve, you're here. What have you seen recently?
I saw Arrival.
Oh, nice.
Oh, very and cool.
The Arrival.
And?
I liked it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like all the stuff with the weird alien language and the procedural stuff like that?
I mean, everything about it, like, I just liked it a lot. And they actually had a
twist. Oh, my bad. I didn't want me to do that. I'm sorry.
And it actually had a twist to it that I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
The narrative twist the memory thing.
Yes. Yeah. I did not see that at all.
It was very,
that was cool.
Very surprising.
And actually, when those cutscenes came in, you know, after a while, every single time they came in, I'm like, this better be relevant because this is annoying.
Yeah.
And then it was.
And then it was.
And then, yeah. And then when it was relevant, I was like, oh my God, it's amazing.
That's funny how that happens. Yeah.
For anybody listening to know, it kind of reminded me of Contact, in that if you were to describe it, you'd be like, it's kind of like Contact, but not, but, you know.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sure, because it's about communicating with
a ship.
With another ship, with technology, and trying to figure out...
But this was way
immediately
better.
What's your place in a world that is now so much more expanded because of the existence of aliens.
Yeah.
Now your worldview has been blown up.
I thought it was way better than Contact.
Yeah, I think so too. I like Contact a lot. I think Arrival is smarter, a better movie. And then, you know, he did Arrival, Denis Villeneuve, and then Blade Runner 2049, and now he's working on Dune. So his ambition is growing greater and greater with each subsequent movie. We'll see. Will Dune be the one that finally crashes him down and breaks him?
Maybe. I mean, he's I think it could be pretty high expectations.
It's broken others.
Dune is the type of you know, story that when you create it into a movie, there's so much to that world. That
to try to fit all that information
that
in.
People are not a lot of people are either not going to see it altogether because maybe they saw the older one and had that experience.
Oh, sure.
Or you know, you see it and you know, you see the previews for it and everything, it just doesn't translate into, you know, you can't make a trailer for that and make people understand and want to go
right. You have to put up 10 minute trailers in theaters and people are just mad they've seen a 10 minute trailer.
Yep, yeah,
yeah, it'll be just, oh, there's a dog again, fantastic. Every time we hear the dog, tweet us, hashtag that puppy dog. Chow. That dog puppy chow. Hashtag that dog puppy chow.
There we go.
That's a weird hashtag.
It is. That's strange. You're a weird guy.
What else have you seen?
God, from theaters, nothing except, like, was it this year that we saw? Yeah, I saw Phantom Thread in theaters.
Yeah, that's the last movie you saw in theaters, right? You saw it
with us. That's the last one I saw in theaters.
And
yeah.
But that, before the show, you mentioned that you had seen something. I was like, oh, save it for the show.
Yeah.
And we already forgot what it was. Was it something for the Oscars?
It was, let's see.
Was it Call Me By Your Name?
I watched Red Christmas.
Red Christmas, that's right. Drew, yes. Remember that one?
Vaguely.
That's the one, the Australian horror film, Red Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one they made for Australian Santa. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, it's me. I'm back. It's Australian Santa. Sleep, yeah, tell old, sit on Australian Santa's lap and tell him what you thought of Red Christmas.
The pacing was a bit slow.
Oh, you thought it was slow, eh? Well,
yeah. Fine. That's
good.
The way some things were composed, so you could tell it was low budget.
Well, you know, movies are expensive, Steve, but go ahead. Yes.
Even though, I can't explain how exactly, because it was a house. It was just a normal house that they were in and stuff like that. But, I don't know. Anyway, it was... I don't know. I didn't like the...
Oh, you say you didn't like Red Christmas?
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Well, you're getting some coal in your stocking this year. That's for sure. From good old Australian Santa. Get out of here, Australian Santa. I gotta go. Woo!
Not one of the worst movies I've ever seen, though.
He just flew through the ceiling like that. That's crazy. Not one of the worst ones you've seen?
No.
I like Christmas movies.
Yeah.
But,
That I don't even know if I would count.
It's for Australian Santa.
I mean, it
Santa.
Is because the whole thing takes place at Christmas and that. But... yeah, not something where you'd be like, oh, it's Christmas time, break out Red Christmas.
Right, exactly. The new holiday classic.
Yeah.
Put a couple shrimps on the Barbie and watch Red Christmas this holiday season. That was my ad for Red Christmas. They paid me for that, so you're not going to see any of that money. I spent it already. That's fine.
On a stick of gum, right?
On a stick of gum.
And then the very last movie I saw is
I don't feel at home alone in this world. I don't feel at home in this world anymore.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you like it?
I did.
It's a weird movie.
It's weird. Yeah. It is. And that's kind of what I liked it. It was weird and fun. If it wasn't free, I'd have been like, oh, damn it.
Oh, true. Because what you were expecting?
I wasn't expecting anything. It was literally I was bored one day and I heard that somebody enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to casually enjoy.
Sure, yeah.
It's not something to... You know, you don't get anything out of it. Like, you don't learn something.
Right.
You just watch it and it's fun.
It's just an interesting little thriller sort of dark comedy type thing. It's pretty violent towards the end.
Yeah. And I liked it.
Yeah.
I liked it a good bit, too. I'm, you know, I'd probably watch it again.
It's got Elijah Wood.
Yeah. I love Elijah Wood.
There you go. That's a reason to check it out.
And I like the main actress. I know I'd seen her somewhere else, but I couldn't think of where.
She was a lot younger, though. The other girl in Heavenly Creatures, the Peter Jackson movie with Kate Winslet. Have you ever seen that one?
Mm-mm.
It's from the 90s. It was like the movie he did before The Frighteners. It was his New Zealand Kiwi movie he did before he made a Hollywood film.
Mm-hmm.
No, obviously a few years before he did Lord of the Rings. And it's about two girls. They're like high school girls. It's Kate Winslet and then the girl who's in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And they like strike up a relationship.
and they want to be together, but they decide like they have to kill their parents or something, so they commit murder, and it's a wild little movie. It's really good. It's really, really good. One of Peter Jackson's best movies. Heavenly Creatures.
Heavenly Creatures.
Heavenly Creatures. So you saw Arrival, Red Christmas, and I Don't Feel at Home
in This World Anymore.
Okay, I'm writing that down for the show notes. Alright, very cool. No Billy D, no Vox Populi, we did the movie news. Well, then let's just wrap this thing up, why don't we? Here
we go. We give you the questions, you give us the answers. Time for the Lightning Round.
All right, Steve, I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. You ready?
Okay.
Number one, where are the papers?
In the trash.
Number two, why should we even try?
We shouldn't.
Number three, blue ink or black ink?
Black.
Number four, what about donuts?
Oh, they're the life force that I live by.
All right, number five, is this the end of the world as we know it?
Of course it is.
Number six, do you feel fine?
I feel great.
Number seven, jambalaya or Royal Rumble?
Jambalaya.
Number eight, do you know for sure or nah?
Eh.
Number nine, is there someone named Jersey McFuckstick?
Probably.
And number 10, vanilla or chocolate?
Vanilla.
Ooh, vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Blue bag, green bag. Steve, Steve, ooh, which one? Maybe.
I'll do blue.
Blue bag, here we go. Nope, you reach out for it, you don't get to touch it. Drew, Drew touches it. What do we got here, Drew?
Sir, you may get to go home with a Bible word search, volume number 202.
Yes.
So if you enjoy this one, there are 201 previous volumes for you to get.
Yes, there are.
They'd make it thicker than the dictionaries.
We've got a Cinema Crash Video bootleg edition of Vampires.
Yes. Ooh. John Carpenter's Vampires.
We've got a Nano Metal Figs WWE Charlotte Flair figure.
Nice. Charlotte Flair, woo!
We've got a purple cushy ball with eyes on it.
Oh. Purple cushy ball with eyes!
We've got some Reese's Peanut Butter Chip miniatures.
Yeah, yeah, candy.
390 calories per serving.
Nice.
We've got the Blade Trinity. Blade. Cinema Crespo Diso bootleg edition.
Trinity.
And a bunch of stickers that you probably already have.
And a bunch of stickers that you probably already have.
Yeah, yeah.
All that stuff can be yours, or we put it away and you take what we have in a box that's right over here. Look at that box that Drew is picking up right now. And it's in his hands and he almost has it.
Did you just say look at that box?
Look at that box.
Look at that box.
Look at that box. Where else do you think we're going to put all that tent?
I'm going to move on that box like a bitch.
Yes! I'm going to sling tent all over that box.
I got to say, I always go for the box, but in this case, I want that koosh ball, and I'm hungry for Reese's.
Taking the bag. Well done, sir. Well done. We will take that box, and we will throw it, contents and all, into a wood chipper. And it will be never seen again. So there you go. That's it, Drew. Thank you very much for being on the show.
You're welcome, sir.
Steve, thank you for being the man.
I love it.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. We love you very much. Break up the Big Bang. Be excellent to each other. Read more books. Don't be so thirsty. Practice tough love. Spartanize the babies. We are out of here.
Woo.
A PFT Media production.